Is everybody full?
Me too.
Let's stand and worship this morning. Father, we just thank you this morning that we can come into a warm building on a snowy day. We thank you that we have food to eat this morning, that there were those that woke up extra early to prepare a meal for us, to go grocery shopping, to prep it. So we say thank you to them for listening to the call. So, Lord, we just want to give you glory this morning. We want to give you honor. We position ourselves before the throne. You said we can boldly come into the throne room of grace in our time of need. Lord, we always need to be before the Savior, before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we say, here we are this morning. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen.
Angels, we have.
Come on, give God some praise this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. I was excited to see the white stuff falling from... I wasn't excited. I'm just trying to be excited. Anyway, it is gorgeous. It is gorgeous. It is gorgeous. Yes, the pastor always says it's... May your sin be as white as snow, right? Okay. All right. I feel better now. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. Hey, good morning. God bless you. So excited to be back. For those of you that didn't realize or know, which is great, that we were gone. And we had a great time. We went to Colorado Springs, Colorado. And the mountains are beautiful, by the way. And but I have family there, and so we had a good time of enjoying time together. So thanks for letting us go, and thank you to Pastor Tara for doing just a knockdown job on service last week. And I don't know if you know this, but we are really blessed as a church to have that. You don't have to just listen to me every week. Praise the Lord, right? I mean, you know, but you get, we have, you know, we Pastor Tara and Tracy, and they just help in an amazing way. And so I'm so thankful for that, that we are blessed in that way, because that's not normal for a church our size to have that kind of opportunity. And so it's a real gift. And so I'm really pleased and thankful. And so they are amazing. We all present a little differently. We do it different. But it's always, they do an awesome, and they are anointed, and so I'm so thankful for that. So, again, just remember how blessed we are that we have this opportunity, and praise the Lord. Amen? Amen? Well, let's get before the Lord today. Let's just settle this right now that we are here for Holy Spirit. We're here for the Father. Amen? We're here because we know He is awesome, He's beautiful, He's mighty, He's loving, and we have made an appointment. We're going to say, God, we're here for You today. Amen? And what God promises is though we're not seeking anything, if we just seek His face, He says He inhabits us, His presence. And I need that. Amen? We all need that. And so today, let's remember that. So again, you may have loads and loads of needs. Don't be like, God, just go to God. Just look at His face. Seek His face. Seek who He is. And I promise all of those things that you need, He has more than enough of them, and He's ready to distribute them to each one of you. Okay? Sound good? So I always say it like this. You know, this place is a place for everyone. We love people to come. But at the end of the day, it's not for you. It's for Him. Amen? And that's awesome. That's important. Because when He's first place, then everything else works wonderfully. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your might. God, we thank You for Your holiness. So, Father, today as we focus that, we focus our hearts and our minds on You. This is Your place, Your day, and I am Your servant, Father. So, Father, we just lay our expectations aside, our traditions aside. The only thing we want is Holy Spirit. We want You, Father God. We need You. We can't live without You. We thank You that You so beautifully said, yes, I want to be a part of Your life. I want to have a relationship with You through Jesus. So, Father, we thank You for that. So in this morning, this day, we focus on that truth today. We love You and we praise You, God. You are so good. Thank You, Father, for choosing us. Now, Father, we choose to serve You, to worship You and honor You. I pray that it is a pleasure to You, Father. And anything that we're trying to put ahead of You, Father, we lay it down. Forgive us of any sin. Forgive us. Just cleanse us in this moment. We ask You to forgive. You said You're quick to forgive. So we lay that down and we say, God, have Your way and do Your thing today. We love You, Father. We praise You. Excited to glorify You and honor You today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Let's worship.
Blood our bonds with wonder and awe.
in your presence, there is freedom. In your presence, we're made whole. I just pray over minds this morning. Lord, I thank you for wholeness of minds, that we would have the mind of Christ, because your mind is completely whole. So I thank you that we have the mind of Christ this morning. We submit our minds to you this morning. Every part of it, our mind, our will, our emotions, we submit our souls to you this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You're more real than the ground I'm standing on. You're more real than the wind in my lungs. Your thoughts define. It says, you came running down my prodigal road. You came running with a ring and a robe. Grace is the collision on the way back home with the arms of a father who won't let go. He is our Abba. He is our Father. When he said, the disciples asked, how do we pray? He said, say, our Father. He was identifying, my Father is your Father. Say, our Father who's in heaven. Holy is your name. So we come this morning with that mindset. Our Father, our Abba, holy is your name. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm returning to the secret place, just an altar and a flame. Love is found here in our sacred space. I hear your voice, I see your face. You're still my morning with me. I'm returning to the secret place. But what I see this morning is a king's courtroom. And we're returning to the place where he is on the throne. Can you imagine the excitement? to see King Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father? Can you imagine what your heart would be sensing and feeling in that moment? So he made the tabernacle. He told them to make the tabernacle on earth and the tent of meeting on earth as the exact replica of what is in heaven, so we have an idea of what it looks like. And so we're going in. I come through the gates with thanksgiving. I come into the courts with praise. And we're washed with the water of the word, but then we don't stop there. We go into the Holy of Holies. He welcomes us into the Holy of Holies. He welcomes us into his secret place. I don't know about you, but my heart would be doing some crazy things at that moment. In the presence of Creator, in the presence of Abba Father, he says, come in this morning. Come in to the Holy of Holies. Come in to where my presence changes you. It changes our perspective. It changes our mindsets. It changes what's important. It puts him back as the first love. Lord, may there not be anything that I put in front of you. We're returning to our first love. You welcome us into the Holy of Holies this morning because of the blood of Jesus. And we position ourselves to say, here's my hands, cleanse them. Here's my mouth, please cleanse it. And I want to walk right into the Holy of Holies. Into your presence, where the mercy seat is kept. And Jesus took his blood into the mercy seat in heaven and put his blood on the mercy seat and said, this is the sacrifice once and for all for our sin. Isn't that amazing? Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. May the flame of our hearts always be lit. Sing it to him.
And I live.
We have just the guys singing. I love you,
Lord, and I lift my voice to worship.
I hear the heart of the Father saying, I love hearing it, that you love me. And more men need to say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. You're the only voice that you have to give. Can we do it one more time? I love you, Lord.
Father, we worship you and we praise you. We thank you for being mighty, sovereign, awesome God. God, through Christ, we thank you that you are also Abba, Father, our Daddy. That we can come and climb in your lap and enjoy your presence and have very close relationship with you. And what an honor that is. God, I pray that each person realizes and understands that that is available for all who will call on your name. It's not for a chosen few. It's for all who would say yes to you. So I pray that we all say yes to you, Father. You're the greatest of things in our life. So Father, I thank you that as we sang today, I thank you as we worship you today, I thank you that as we've given you glory, because you are, of course, worthy of it all. I thank you that even in these moments that you have caused breakthroughs, restorations, addictions broken, bodies healed and made whole. Father, because in your presence, none of those things are holy and they have to flee. Father, we thank you when your presence comes, it brings about a wholeness and a completeness. And so we embrace that truth today, not because we feel it, but because your word says it. And we will declare the name of Jesus over our lives, over our church, over our families, over our city, over our nation. The name of Jesus, because we have been given that name to use and apply. Because of relationship. So, Father, we thank you for that today. I pray that we all hear that, understand that today. That that's your heart, that's your desire. So, God, we love you and we praise you today. We honor you. And what I saw as we were worshiping and Pastor Tara had all the men, as the men began to proclaim, there was a sound and a roar that was breaking walls and releasing families into his heart. In other words, it was as if any hesitation of God enveloping you was those things, that gate was made wide open when the men began to pray, when it began to praise. So I need you to see that in your spiritual mind, to picture that the gates of heaven were opened up as we begin to sing. Again, it's because of Jesus. It's not because we are amazing. It's because he is the amazing one. But he's given us this amazing gift that we can speak his name. We can praise His name. And it opens heaven and it brings heaven right to earth. God, we thank You for that. And so we declare that. We see that in our spiritual hearts and minds. We believe it. We declare that in Jesus' name. That any kind of curse or oppression, any kind of hovering of the enemy is scattered in Jesus' name. As we declare Your name is first, Your name is highest, Father. Father, we thank You for that authority. We thank You for Holy Spirit that activates that truth. And we say yes. So, Father, we worship You and we praise You. We thank You again for this day. That today is a day that You have made. And for some, it's a brand new day. I believe that for some today, it's a brand new day. So we thank You, Father, for that gift. So we give You praise and we give You glory, honor today. We love You, Father. You are so good. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Turn to someone and tell them, God is so good. Don't forget your other neighbors so they don't feel hurt. Amen. Good job, worship team. Thank you. Yeah, give them a hand. They're awesome. Amen. Well, Brian's going to come and receive, once he gets out of his cage, we'll let him out. He's going to help us receive offering today. I want to remind you that we have offering boxes on the wall. Feel free to drop those in. We have envelopes available for you giving by cash. Make sure that you do that so it's reported correctly for you. And I want to say thank you so much for giving. And Brian?
Good morning. How about that Christmas tree, huh? I planted that tree. Yes. Conveniently next to an outlet. I was going to read from 1 Timothy 6. I remember that, but I don't remember how much I was going to read. I guess we'll start with 6:6. And this was, Timothy. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Now, who immediately thinks I'd like to leave something behind for my children when I say it? I'll read it again, in case you didn't realize you were being quizzed. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Is anyone like, well, I knew that, but I wanted to leave something for somebody else? Nice. Nice. I didn't feel that way. I didn't. I wanted to leave something. Didn't happen. But then I thought to myself, I says, self, what are you teaching? Are you teaching that what I made for the kids helped them? That's not teaching anything, right? Wouldn't it have been better to go out broke and make them rely on God? Yes, anyone? Thank you. Two head nods. Yes. I mean, I thought about it, and I'm like, because that's the first thing I say. Well, I'm not trying to save money for myself. I know I can't take it with me, but I'd like to leave something behind. But what to what end? To prove that I could provide? It never was my provision. So that attitude is wrong, I've decided. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. So when we try to do it ourselves, or we think that we're doing it ourselves, or try to manipulate God's gifts into our own completion of ambition, we have plunged into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, such as the love of being, feeling like we're somehow safe, or that we have enough money to be provided for. Yeah. We try to do that. I try to do that. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Well, I would imagine the person who thinks they have done enough to provide for themselves and they lose it, well, they would be pierced with many griefs. Amen? So what are we doing it for? What are we, trying to work towards something that we think we've created? Because that would be wrong. We should be relying on God every day, not trying to get to some point where we don't need to, because you know that it could be gone. I'm sure everybody has some sort of experience where it's like, wow, things took a turn for the worse quickly, right? That's what I took from that. Guard yourself against what you're trying to do and continue to give and help others where you can. Amen. According to God's word, let's confess and claim together. Jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, gifts and unexpected income, increase in sales and commissions, new clients and customers, inheritances, hidden resources, inventions, new business opportunities, lost or stolen items returned, checks in the mail, investment growth, promotions and advancement, supernatural favor, and abundance to share with others. It really is like the first, in Jesus' name, amen. I forget how many are up there. I thought it was like 13. It's like the first 12 are for the third, for the last one, whatever the number is. It's like they're kind of not equal individually. It's like blessed to be of an abundance to share with others. Amen?
Yes.
Yeah. Dear Father, we just thank you so much for keeping our priorities in order, Lord, to know that you're the provider and that when you can provide for one of us, you can provide for all of us, Lord. And that is a lesson that everyone would be cheated from if we tried to take that from them, to not let someone struggle through and learn on their own to trust you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Good morning, Word of Life Family Church.
So immediately following the service today, we're asking if anyone can please stay and help us decorate for Christmas. With lots of hands, it goes very, very quickly.
And then also a reminder that this Wednesday for our midweek lean is our prayer and worship night. So please join us at 6 o'clock on Wednesday for our midweek lean as we go as a corporate body in prayer and worship. So this Wednesday, 6 o'clock.
And then Thursday, 11:30 to 1, we have prayer time. So if you can come at any time during that time, we're recommending asking anyone that can come, please come and join us in corporate prayer for our country, for our nation, that's both for the world, for the other countries, for Israel, for our community, for the police officers, for just there's so much to pray for. So come together and we'll do that on Thursday.
And if you haven't been here, it's been an awesome time. The presence of God has been crazy. So get here on Thursdays at 11:30 if possible.
So this Friday, starting at 5 o'clock, we're going to be having our ugly sweater Christmas party at the Wojciech's house.
Adult only ugly sweater party.
Yes.
So get your babysitters and come on out to the Wojciech's.
And what do we need to bring?
Finger food. Can you please bring some finger food or appetizers, whatever you want to call them.
You'll have forks if we don't bring finger food.
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay.
Maybe we'll just eat everything with our hands no matter what. So yes, bring something to eat, something edible. And then also, if you want to be in the White Elephant Gift Exchange, we need you to bring a gift. It has been a fun full of laughter time. So you could possibly win that. I mean, who doesn't want to win that?
What's your name? Come on back. What's her name?
I think we called Esther. Her Eleanor.
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 Well, hi,
she,
Eleanor.
She will make an appearance at the ugly sweater party. So yes, bring a gift value of about $10. Obviously, her value is way over $10, but we'll sacrifice it. So if you need directions, see me or Brian after church. So see you Friday at 5 o'clock. So next Sunday, December 10th, is our Christmas program. So this is the last Sunday to get signed up with your talent, your production, whatever you're going to do. So please see Pastor Tara. This is Pastor Tara after the church service. But we would love to see what you guys want to bring to the platform on next Sunday, the 10th.
That's going to be starting at 5:30. And then afterwards, we're going to be having our soup supper. So everyone, I see that there's like so many people that signed up, so that's fantastic. Bring in your soup, and we will have bread and desserts to go with it. Can they bring a dessert also?
Yes, they need to bring a dessert.
Oh, bring
too,
a dessert too.
Christmas favorites, Christmas cookies, whatnot. So yes, all delicious. Good deliciousness. So.
And we a lot of times will bring a little muffin tin. Some people bring a muffin tin, and then you put your little cups in it, and you can try out all the different, because there's like so many.
Well, you'd need like a 40. Yeah. Muffin tin to try all of them.
I mean,
but
fine.
Yeah, true. Maybe they just might have something. So yeah, invite people. This is a really great event to invite your neighbors to, people of the community to. They get to enjoy a fun talent show, and then they get to enjoy fantastic food afterwards. So again, next Sunday, 5:30, the Christmas program.
All right, yeah, give him a hand. That did awesome. Wow, you can turn me down. I'm really loud.
Wake everybody.
Hey, yeah, you heard the kind of crackling or whatever. I figured out what it was. I always knew that these two get a lot of things done. They're actually cyborgs. And what was happening was it was showing. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, it's excited about what God is doing and all the fun that's happening. This month, I was going to say this year, but it's almost over. Wow, can you believe that? Well, I want to remind you today that today is Family Sunday, and basically what that means is that our kids, kindergarten and up, stay in service with us today, and we have something for you. Miss Michelle has a notes page for you to fill out, follow along our sermon for the day. Also, though, if you have 4K and younger, we do have an opportunity for them to still go to class. And I believe Miss Mary, raise your hand. Miss Mary, you're quite contrite. No. Anyway, Miss Mary's going to take care of your kiddos there. So you can do that now. While that's all happening, turn to someone and say hello and welcome. Amen. Am I too loud still? I want to be not too, I don't want the mic to be too loud so I can yell later, you know, and just, you know, I'm just kidding. Yale. Yeah, I heard that, didn't you? Sorry. Well, praise the Lord. Well, again, I want to say it's awesome to be back and good to be with you again. And we had a great time. We had the opportunity because Colorado is a year. It felt like a year drive. Colorado is an hour earlier than we are. We got to go to your church twice. So we got to celebrate and worship with you live in online. And I saw who was falling asleep and who what. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. And Pastor Terry didn't let you fall asleep. She had you stand up, didn't she? And that's that youth pastor in her. But then we had, after that was over, just about before it was over, we were able to go to my parents' church and had a great time with that. So we are double filled up from this week, and excited to be here today. I want you to do me a favor. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we are going to launch a new series this week, and I was going to say this year, because I don't know, it feels like it's been, yeah, right, like it's already next year or something like that. Can you believe that we're in the third day of December already? I mean, I was like, what, December? And tomorrow is January, and, you know, anyway, but wow, here we are, and here we are about 22 days from Christmas Day. And as we move towards and through this Christmas season and all that's involved with that, you know, it's interesting. You know, we didn't go Black Friday shopping per se. We did go shopping on Black Friday, and it wasn't terrible. We've been years before. I say we. I rarely go to Black Friday, just if I'm being honest. But my wife has, especially when the kids were younger and all of that stuff. And elbow our way. The one actual Black Friday. Can I share this? Is okay. The actual one Black Friday day, I did decide. Okay, I'm gonna brave it. I'm in the electronics area, which is the worst place to be, by the way, on Black Friday area section, especially Black Friday a few years ago. And so I'm in, I got my little cart, you know, and I'm, and there's lots of people around, and I didn't like it, but you know, it's whatever, you know, you're going. And I just reached, and there was a DVD. You remember when DVDs were a thing, and you could like put it in the, anyway, so there's a DVD, and I was like, well, that looks good. And I reached in to grab it. I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And I look up to go turn and put it in my cart, and my cart is moving away. So when I grabbed my cart, they liked what was in it, and they decided they want it. And I was like, Jesus loves you. It was awkward. So I was like, I need to go now because I can't do this anymore. And I don't think I've done it after that. So but this traditional, this commercialism about Christmas is crazy, right? It gets to be so crazy where people are elbowing. When we lived in Phillips, well, we still do. When we lived in Phoenix, there were people that would just out and out have fights at the store over Christmas. You know, like joy to the world, boom, bam. You know, like what in the world is going on? It's like all about what we can get and what going. And we often look at that, right? We have this weird thing that we sometimes look at the Christmas season, like getting things and getting things and getting things. And it's really crazy. And then there's the other side. And I've become keenly aware over the years that either Christmas brings about that kind of hustle and bustle and challenge and craziness, but also I've been very aware of the emotional stress that sometimes it can bring, especially when we have the loss of someone or something's just not working right. And I hate to say it, that emotionally, there's you think Christmas and joy and you think all of these things, and sometimes we feel all of the opposite of those things. And I hate that. I hate that so much because it removes the very meaning of what Christmas is about. That the world has dictated and commercialized and preached to us that is what Christmas is. And the enemy has done this on purpose. And if you're like, you're being kind of super spiritual, listen, I wanted you to know that we are in a spiritual fight. And the enemy would try to use anything to discount and to remove the real meaning of Christmas. I love Christmas. I love all of the things that it has. I'll even have watched a Hallmark movie or two. But the interesting thing is, you know, statistically they say that this season, this time, there's more depression and suicide and more difficulties than ever before. And if you look at this, if you really look at the spiritual side of that, you can see how the enemy has stolen what was supposed to be the greatest, most magnificent times of year, because it is about Jesus. Amen? That this Christmas and every Christmas is about Jesus, not about things and not about hurts and challenges. Jesus came to remove all of those things. Amen? And so we need to renew our minds because we've been conformed to the expectation of these Christmas and the holiday. And don't get me wrong, I love all of that. But at the end of the day, if we're not focused on the true meaning, we will be busted and broke and depressed and hurt and crazy. And I think some of you probably are feeling that way this year. And so as the Lord was telling me what to do as we're coming into the season, He says, let's get back to the reason for the season. And let's just take the next few weeks and glorify and talk about Jesus, the name that's above every name. Let's talk about Jesus, Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. Instead of the commercialism, instead of all those things, and again, I'm not bashing all those things, enjoy all of those things, but remember that if we don't focus on Jesus, we'll be focused on circumstantial things and issues and challenges, and we will be really bummed out. And that really removes the purpose of what Jesus came for. Jesus came to bring, let's say over here, maybe there. Jesus came to bring and bring it more. Amen. And if we're focusing on the wrong kind of Christmas, then we're going to be everything but that. Amen? You see what I'm saying? I'm not here to bash. I'm not here to... All I'm trying to do is what I know, because if I'm being honest, Christmas was a... has always been, or at least has been over the last few years, has been a touchy subject for me, because that was the year that we had great loss. And it was a difficult thing. And before that, if I'm being honest, before that, I don't know if you know this, I was a professional portrait photographer for over 25 years, worked in the industry, and that was one of the worst times to, oh man, because, you know, it's hustle and bustle. And you talk about knowing about commercialism and all of that, because I worked in a shopping mall at Christmas trying to do pictures. I didn't want to hear any Christmas songs. I didn't want to be around any. I mean, it was just rough. And then finally I got to the place where I got out of that and finally started enjoying the season. Because, again, I'm thinking circumstantial, right? I'm thinking all these things. And I started enjoying that. And then we had loss of our son or our grandson, Callan. And it just, and again, I'm trying to say this. That there are a lot of that. There's a lot of that happening. And the idea is if we're not careful, if we don't focus on who was born and what came to this earth and who came to this earth, the enemy will use it to try to persuade us and to get us in a place of challenging and stuff. Listen, if stuff isn't the reason, and even feeling happy isn't the thing, there must be a bigger reason, right? It must be who? Jesus. Amen? And I know it's become a cliche to say Jesus is the reason for the season. I didn't know it's written more on cards, but I'm hoping that this over this season, over this time, we will let this be written on our hearts. That we'll see the real reason, the real purpose. And so over the next few weeks, all we're going to do is focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is that okay? And that's what this series is going to be about over the next few weeks. And we'll come to a combination of it at Christmas Eve service, which is on in the daytime. Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday, and so we'll have a celebration and have a good family time and all of those things. It'll be an amazing time, but it comes all to this purpose. And so I don't know about you, but I want to brag about Jesus. Anyone else love Jesus? Amen? Amen. Okay, let's pray. Father, we love you. And we praise you. And Father, I just pray in this moment right now that you would reveal yourself truth. And that we would hear your word today. That my words would be not my human words, but somehow would tap into your presence, your power. And I would just listen and speak on your behalf for you, Father. Father, I thank you for any error that I say, that you would erase that and you would translate that to what exactly what you want to know. You're that amazing God. So, Father, we just, again, we rest in you. We thank you for this day, this moment, this time. This is for you, and we lean into you to hear what you have to say, Father. We love you, Father. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, if you're there finally. I know it took a long time to introduce this, but I wanted to make sure we look at this. That the mission, as you're turning Luke chapter 2, I want to remind you that the mission of Christmas is Jesus. And the mission of Jesus was ultimately to transform our lives. Not to make our lives happy, but to bring joy, the joy of the Lord. To bring the opportunity to have relationship with Him. To transform our lives and our thinking and our way of doing things. So Luke chapter 2, we're going to read it together. It should be on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, we have extra Bibles over there. If you don't own a Bible, you keep it. If you do own a Bible, just forgot it or whatever, you just bring it back or leave it there so we can use it later. But I want you to have your Bibles. You know, Bibles are made, they're not just, you know, they're an amazing love letter from the Father to you and me. They're an instruction. It's an instruction book. Help you. It's a history book. It's a science book. It's a love story. It's all of these things, but it's made to be a workbook too, where we get to mark it up and underline it and insert your own name and do all those things. So I invite you to get a Bible that you can do that and use that for that. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, said, 'Do not be afraid,'" or "don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news." Everyone say good news. "I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." You see that? Jesus was born. Emmanuel was born. God with us was born on earth. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a coincidence. It was on purpose and with purpose for you and me. John chapter 3, verse 16, we all know this. "For this is how we know that God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life." But I like verse 17. Marty always reminds, Marty's my father-in-law, by the way. Love you. And anyway, some people don't know that. But he reminds us, we got to keep reading. It says that God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. That we have a Savior that was born. We have someone that has lived a life like we, has conquered sin and death, went to the cross for the punishment that he didn't know, but we did. And he went to the cross and he gave his life. No one took his life, by the way. He gave his life. He laid down his life for you and me so we could be saved through him. Somebody say, the reason for the season is Jesus. Amen. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that we are his very own, eager to do what is good." And so basically what we're trying to say, it was an intentional plan by God for you and me. That Jesus came to remove depression, to remove hurt, to bring healing, to bring restorations. All of the things that feel heavy in this season, the point that Jesus came was to remove those things. A king has come. A ruler, a spiritual ruler that was making right what had been wronged in our world. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, born to us to give us the way, to give us the truth, and to give us life. Amen? How many are excited about that idea? How many are thankful for that? So how do we identify with that? How do we purposely, honestly, wonderfully walk in that? How do we reflect his identity? How do we live in that kind of a thing? Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 through 27 gives us some insight to how we do it. It says that the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. Everyone say, that's me. Verse 27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his majesty, which is, here it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to read a different translation. Some of you like this translation, some of you hate it. That's okay, but I appreciate it. It helps me. In verse 27, the Passion Translation, it says, living within you, say within me, is Christ, who floods you with the expectation of glory, this mystery of Christ, embedded within us. For the believer, Jesus is saying, the word is saying that he's embedded in us. It becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. God wants everyone to know that he lives in you. As a believer, as a follower, a believer is a follower of God, right? A believer is not just knowing God, like knowing of him. But a believer is someone that's dedicated their life to say, you know what? I lay down my own life. I give it to you, God. Lead me and guide me. That's a believer. That's a follower of Christ. And what God says is when we do that, he dwells within us. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy One. Somebody say amen, because that's good news. So how do we identify with it? Peyton, will you grab that for me? Will you bring that to me? Thank you. Thank you. How do we identify with Christ in our life? Hold on. Yes, I have a ball under here. How do we identify with Christ? Let me ask you this. Ladies, when you were with child, how did you live? Did you live your life differently when you knew you had that precious one inside of you? When we talk about... Sorry, this is awkward, isn't it? When we talk about Christ in you, this is the picture that we need to see. That God, in his goodness and his grace, has given Christ in us. And in us, as we live in him and he in us, it says if we abide in him, he will abide in us. That there is a part in our minds that we need to understand that if we want to identify with Christ, it's easy. He lives in you. Identify with the truth that God deposited the Holy Spirit in you. He himself is in you. And if you're with you, he's with you. Does that make sense? And also realize that in Christ, as we are identifying, reflecting Jesus, it's really easy if we're remembering he's in us. In other words, he is who we are. The DNA of Christ has been, we've been given that. And so as we walk, you're like, how in the world do I do this? Well, how would you, if he was in you, imagine. Can you imagine, ladies, you could imagine Mary knowing that the Son of God was in her? The cool thing is that God wants us to imagine that, because in truth, what this scripture is saying is that not only is he in, was he in Mary, but through that cross, the work of cross and resurrection, he is in you and me as well. And so we are carrying, we are pregnant with child, Jesus. Now, I would think that with that understanding that we would just walk and talk a little differently. I think we would walk in this world and do things within this world so much different if we had understood, if we truly get an understanding of Christ in us, living in us. And this is exactly what Christmas is for. It's a reminder of that truth. Not the things and not the feelings, but the truth that Jesus lives in you and me. That we don't walk this world alone. That we walk with Him through the hardships and through the challenges and through the crazy storms where we're elbowing our ways. He's with us. It says He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. This is what Christmas is. This is what Jesus is and wants to be in our lives. And if we don't focus on that, the world will tell us differently. And we'll just be busted and broke and upset and just messed up. And the enemy's like, yeah. And God's saying, no, not my kids. Amen. He lives in you. He lives in me. It's not something we did. It's not something we earned. It was a gift of God for you and me that He lives in you and me. And I'm so thankful for that. And this Christmas, this season, let's ponder that. Let's meditate on that truth. Let that be the joy of the Lord be our strength. Because that's truth. No matter what circumstances and life throws at you, the Bible says He lives in you and for you. We have to renew our mind to it because the enemy is conforming us to an opposite pattern of this. It's telling us that stuff and people and relationships and all of the other things that we throw in there, all of those things are going to dictate what it is, and those are going to fall. We know that already. If you lived 10 minutes, you know that already. But yet we're still focused, and the enemy, it's a battle. But we can win the battle because why? Because Christ lives in you and me. We have Holy Spirit and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it also says that in the name of Jesus, everything else has to bow. Amen? Hallelujah. So I just have a quick few minutes. That's a little more of the introduction of what we're going to look at this month. But I did want to give you some practical things, some places and areas where we can walk, where we can purposely reflect Christ, purposely reflect the heart of God and who He is. It will be good for us, but it will also be a reflection of Him towards others, which is the most important. Because as I said, within this room, I'm sure there's several that are having difficulty in this. And if I do statistically, you can multiply that outside of these walls. We need the light of the world. And it needs to be pointed to. And we need to reflect that truth. And so there's some things that I just want us to kind of ponder and look at. If we have Christ in us, if we're reflecting, how can we do that? And one of the ways, the first way, is in our words. We can reflect Christ in our words. Now, the scripture says that there's life and death in the power of our tongue, and that is truth, absolute. But I also want to remind ourselves that what we speak is what others hear, and how is that reflecting Christ in our world? Right? That it's good for us, but it's also good for those to know Christ and not us. And so we must bless and not curse. Now, I know most of you, most of the time, you don't curse someone. But we can get upset at someone. And we can, instead of saying, God bless you, we can be like, Lord, get them. That's not His heart. He wants to get them. He wants to get their heart. And He needs us to speak life over them, what He has already wanted and chosen for them, in hopes that they'll receive it. Amen? So if I'm reflecting Christ, if we are reflecting Christ because He lives in us, I'm going to watch what I say. The Bible says, Luke, Jesus said this. I think He's an important instructor. It's in chapter 6, verse 27 and 28, it says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. 28. This is a hard one. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. I didn't say it was easy, but if you have Christ, if we have a full understanding of Christ in us, it's easy. The next thing is our actions. Oh, our actions. That we, as we realize that Christ is us and we are living and reflecting Christ, that we are servants, not takers. That we serve and we don't take. We are givers of our time, of our heart, of our resources. All of those that we give because we've been given so much. And you say, well, I haven't been given hardly anything. If you have Jesus, you've been given the greatest of all gifts. A guarantee of a residence, a mansion in heaven one day, eternal life. But also, he says that you've also been given the opportunity to have abundant life here on earth. Doesn't mean we don't have challenges and hurts and tragedies and all that. But it's in that that we can walk through it because he's in there with us. And sometimes he's holding our hand and sometimes, thank the Lord, he carries us. Whatever we need, however we need it. But our actions, we are serving, we don't take. We're not. It's not what we can get, it's what we can give. That through reflecting Jesus, Jesus didn't come to take. He came to save, but he did it by serving and giving. And if I'm reflecting Christ, I should do the same. Hey, long story short, it worked good out. It worked out well for him. He accomplished what he set out to accomplish. Praise God. So there's an example that if we do what he did, we're going to follow in his footsteps in his same way. Amen? The third thing, I don't even like to say this one, is our attitude. Our attitude will reflect Christ. We can either reflect the goodness or not. We are selfless as Christians, as believers, reflecting. We're selfless, not selfish. Somebody say amen. Amen. I had to remind myself of this. That we're selfless and not selfish. John chapter 15 verse 13 again. Passion Translation says, "For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends." That's what Jesus did. And if Jesus is in us, we would mimic that. The Bible says, right, we are to be imitators of him, of the word. And so we can do that. Everyone say, I can do that. Because I have Christ in me. Right? We're not trying to do these things out of our own works. We're doing it through Christ that lives in us. I want us to get that. We're not trying to attain something that we've already been given. It's in you. It's in me. Amen? And I know it doesn't feel like it. And that's why we need the word. That's why we need to press into his presence and pray and spend time with him so our minds can renew to the truths of that, because there is an enemy that's trying to lie to you and tell you otherwise and use your feelings as a way to dictate a lie. Amen? But he's been found out in Jesus' name. That devil, that lopped-eared, right? Okay, number four, ready? Oh, we're almost done. It's always hard when I'm gone and I come back. I want to preach for 14 hours. So we said that we reflect, when we're reflecting Christ, we're reflecting our words. We reflect in our actions, we reflect in our attitudes. And number four, we're going to reflect in our response. The response is we are forgivers, not retaliators. If I'm reflecting Christ, Jesus was on the cross. How many know that he could have retaliated? He had the ability. But he saw the bigger picture. He saw the truth of what was happening. A momentary challenge, albeit horrific. But seeing it through the eyes of what God was doing, he was able to forgive them. In fact, he says, while he's on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had already been beaten. He had already been spat at. He had already been whipped. He had already been nailed to the cross, bleeding, horrible, horrific death, agony. And in those moments, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If I'm reflecting Christ, I've never had to hang on a cross. I should be able to forgive and not be retaliate. If I'm reflecting Jesus, if I'm saying, Jesus, I am, you are in me and I want to be you, I want to be everything you said I want to be, he says, forgive. Be a forgiver. Let it go. Let it go. Give me it. If I'm reflecting Christ, I'll forgive. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 14. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive one another who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so forgive others. And verse 14, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. These are the words of God to us and for us. Not because they're easy words, but they're life words. And they will bring about life within you and for those that we come in contact with. And number five, our last one as we get ready to be done here. The last one is motivation. The motivation is that we live to give and not to get. I think Brian hit it on the head when we talk about even our finances, even the tithing, that what do we do? What do we do this for? We do it because he asks us to do it. And he asks us to do it not because he's like strong-armed and fisty. He asks us to do these things because he wants to bless us. He wants to take care of you. He wants to protect us. That obedience is not about trying to make you robots, us robots, right? The obedience and the offer that he's saying is, if you do these things, then I get to envelop you. I get to hold you and keep you and carry you and take you, and I get to protect you. It's all because he loves. And so our motivation, though he loved us, it says he loved us before we were lovely. He loved us. So his motivation was not because we were good. His motivation wasn't because you looked good or you did amazing things, because we couldn't fulfill the law. We just can't. He did all of that. His motivation was because you are the apple of his eye. He did all of those things because he loves you. He created you. Because when he created something, he wanted it to be something he could enjoy and bask with and enjoy and have face-to-face conversation with. That's what he created us for relationship, to enjoy the goodness of God. That was his motivation. And so we see, if we can see, we can rest in that motivation, and that should cause us then to easily function in that kind of motivation as well. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 and 8. This again is a Passion Translation. It says, abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of our own interests. Verse 5, it says, and consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. He laid his life down. His motivation was he saw us suffering. He said, no. I don't want them to be eternally separated from me. I want them to have relationship with me. I want them to know me intimately and lovely. And so he gave his life for you and me. And he bought it back, what the enemy had stolen. He gave it all. He did it all. He paid it all just so we could have a relationship with him. So this is my charge to you. Accept his love. Accept the gift of eternal life. Accept the gift of a life more abundantly. Accept it wholeheartedly. I promise it will pay dividends beyond your understanding. But most importantly, it creates a legacy for others as well. I was reminded last week, and we were in service, and this pastor mentions this truth, and it helped to be the fuel for this very message today. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet as we close, but I want you to hear the truth today. Let me ask you a question for all of you scientists out there. How does the moon light up at night? How does the moon light up? Why do we call it moonlight? It's sunlight reflected. Unlike our sun, the moon doesn't produce its own light. It has no light of its own. Moonlight is actually sunlight that shines on the moon and bounces off so we can enjoy a full moon. Christ in me should reflect the light of Christ so all can see. You want to imagine, you want to think about the meaning of Christmas? There it is. It's about Jesus. It's about reflecting Jesus. In ourselves, we have no light. In ourselves, we can do no good nor have any good. Though we can try, we can work at it, and we can get caught up in the thought of, but at the end of the day, we realize all of that's fleeting and none of it's possible. We've all came to the place. If you've invited Christ, you've all come to the place where you said, I've tried it, man. All I do is mess things up. That was my life. That was what I did. Even grew up in a Christian home and I was a good Christian. But without him, I was going to hell no matter what. Do you understand? Without receiving him and understanding him and growing up at a Christian home didn't do it. It was receiving Christ as my Lord and Savior, period. And when I did, the light that was in him reflected out of me. And so I want my little light to shine. And I want it to shine bright, not for my purpose, but for him. Because man will fail, the world will fail, circumstances will fail, family will fail. But the promise is that God will never. And the promise and the truth of it is because God came as a man, Emmanuel, God with us, to live in us. The hope of glory. I ask you to bow your heads. Father, we receive this instruction, truth today, not to be beat up or bashed in, but actually just to be excited. To bring the joy back to the season, because you are the joy. Now, God, we have to be mindful and purposeful in that. I do. I thank you, Father, that not only you live in us, but you have Holy Spirit in us to help guide us to these truths. And so I just pray in this room today that, Father, that you would also nudge them, remind them all, that if they've said yes to you, you live in them. That you're not far off, but you're right with them every step of the way. Father, there may be some here that have either walked away or never given their life to you. And, well, they're not seeing a whole lot of light in your life. God, I thank you there's therefore no condemnation in that, but that we would come to a realization that you so desperately, so beautifully want us to invite you into our lives so we can have a relationship and be free from all of that stuff. And so in this room, I would just pray that if that's you, if you're like, I'm ready, I need Jesus in greater measure. Like I am saying, I will lay down my life. I want to reflect the Son, S-O-N, in my life. Maybe this is the first time you made a commitment. Maybe it's the 100th time you made the commitment. It makes no matter. The moment we say yes, Jesus says, here I am. So before we go any further, I want to make sure we have this opportunity. Father, I thank you that in this moment right now that you're working on the heart of the people to know that we desperately needed you and that we still do. So Holy Spirit, move right now in the body, those that are watching, that they would call on your name and you would answer with a resounding yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm just going to ask you, sometimes we do it secret, you know, whatever, and sometimes we don't, but I want to take this opportunity, if that's you, if you want to receive Jesus first time, or maybe you just want to rededicate your life, I want you to do me a favor, raise your hand. I want to come in agreement with you. I want to pray with you, for you, and listen, this isn't, again, this is not, this all, you're like, I'm not doing that because people are going to know. That's the whole point. We want to know. We want to be excited. There's someone else on the team. Praise God. Someone else I can call on when I need help. Someone else that I can link arms with when I'm walking through some stuff. So it's not a scary secret. It's the bestest just catching your attention, decision ever. And you become part of a family. So on the count of three, if that's you, if you just want to say, yes, I'm ready to receive him, or I'm ready to rededicate your life, I'm just going to have you slip your hand up. 1, 2, 3. Go ahead. Anyone? Amen. 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 See, what's happened right now, the trajectory of people's lives has been changed, pointing to the Father. When one says yes, it's so important and so massive that all heaven stops and begins to cheer. Hallelujah, we've been waiting, we've been wanting it. That's the truth. It is not something to be worried about, it is something to be excited about. So one more time, if that's you, if you have anyone else, let's not miss this moment. This season is Jesus' season. Let's let him shine bright in our lives. So if that's you, raise your amen. 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 Got to see, Jesus is like, yes! Can you see the party that's happening when someone says yes? Not only is the party happening in heaven, but heaven comes to earth in your life right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. Heaven comes down and resides within you in Jesus' name. That's what he says. So pray this prayer with me. Say, Father God, we receive you, your Son, who went to the cross for me. Forgive me of my sin. I can't do it anymore. I won't do it anymore on my own. I want you. I receive you now as my Lord and as my Savior. I give you my life from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm trying to be as loud as the angels. Hallelujah! Because the angels are screaming and yelling and praising. Talk about a Christmas. It becomes Christmas right now when we receive Christ. Amen? God is so good. He's so amazing. He loves us so much. And now that we all have Christ, we're all in likeness. Now we can shine his light. Because you know and I know we've come across people that really are lost and really want help. And we have a Savior that went to the cross for them, for help. And he calls us to reflect him. Our motivation, our attitude, our words, all that our actions are to show and connect others with him. That's what Christmas is also about. Amen. What a privilege that we've been given, that he saves us and then gives us to say, hey, you're in the army. Come on, let's do it. Hallelujah. That's so good. If I was in the seats, I'd be yelling, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. God is so good. You got to come back. We got more of this. God has such good things in store for this season. And we need to renew our mind to the good things of God. Amen. Amen. I just want to pray a blessing over you before you go. I want to say thanks for coming today. And again, one more time, thank you to Tracy and all of them that gave our breakfast today. Come on, just give them a hand. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Don't forget that we have all of those things happening next week. We have the Ugly Sweater Party in the program. Hey, bring somebody to the variety show, the soup dinner. I mean, it is an amazing time. It's a great, it's just an awesome time. So bring someone. It's a community event. It's an opportunity. So bring someone next week, next Sunday night. It's going to be an amazing. Don't worry, there'll be plenty of food. But more importantly, they're going to taste and see the Lord is good. And so I'm excited about that. So again, bring everyone you can. If they're like, oh, they go to church, then leave them alone. There are so many other people that need to know Jesus. We don't need to go after other churches. Can somebody say amen to that, please? Amen. Come on. Get off of that, Pastor. All right. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray a hedge of protection around each person right now. Mostly because of your kids. And so we just come in agreement with that. I pray no evil befall, no plague would come nigh their dwelling, that you would send your angels to take charge over them and keep them, protect them, all that they are and all that they do. That, Father, they have the mind of Christ in their minds, so it's be steadfast on you. And with that, they're able to do all things. That they're able to accomplish and conquer the enemy and all of his schemes and lies. So, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. I just pray favor, his face, his blessing over you, that his face would shine upon you in great measure. We thank you for it, Father. We love you and we praise you. We give you glory, we give you praise, and until we see each other again, in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, give God praise. He's so good. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus' name.